Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So, you're looking for more out of your battery? We can help. If you're in need of higher performance, we'd go with Duralast Platinum. It's the best choice for premium power designed for your vehicle. And the line now includes EFB and AGM technology, which means we've got the right Duralast Platinum battery for you. And they're only available here at AutoZone. That's why we're America's number one battery destination. Claim based on data from the NPD Group 2020. Get in the zone,
AutoZone. You know him?
To be honest with you, Fitz, this letter will not change a lot for me.
You love her.
There's no simple solution how to move forward. You mentioned if you could go back in time.
Sarah Spain, Jason Fitz, Spain and Fitz.
We're back.
He's not going to feel it the same way like a Harden or a West.
Today is a dark, dark day for the New York Knicks.
He's allowed to benefit from the hype of us promoting him to MVP level.
And they let him go for nothing.
Spain and Fitz returns weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, Marlon Favorite. I'll ask him what former NFL player he would like to attend any camps or come to his place of business where, he, you know, him and Skylar Green try to train the future players here as well, because Marshawn Lynch is over at East Ascension High School right now having a little fun and such. So we'll do that. And then Leo Haggerty. Apparently the Bucks drafted a player from the Navy. They would have liked them to come in, but Uncle Sam said, no, not so fast. So we'll touch on that. And also, of course, we will find out on a championship-winning season caliber type minicamp by Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It's Friday, gotta get down.
Why are you grinning? I mean, per the videos and per everybody, this matters so much.
The song loses meaning when I talk.
I'm sorry.
No. When you lead it off with what you just said.
What, championship, Tom Brady?
Yeah,
he's a champion.
Friday's supposed to be happy. We're supposed to be happy.
I am happy. That's how you ordered a Buccaneers jersey.
No, you didn't. You're so full of it. You are so full of it.
Well, it just goes along with my number two I ordered yesterday. For all pro, Jameis Winston.
Pro Bowl.
Yeah. 800-998-1003. If you want to talk about the Bucs win over the Nets, do you think they can legitimately make this a series or not? That's the question everyone's talking about in that game. In the other game, it's Donovan Mitchell. Everyone's talking about whether or not he is a superstar or not. Your thoughts on Donovan. And if you remember back in the day, as in January 21st, Pels Jazz, Jordan. Remember that game? Pels Jazz.
Yeah, it was a loss.
It was a loss by your New Orleans Pelicans, but they played well, I think. Maybe.
I think Donovan Mitchell was being interviewed because he led his team back all the way from, like, being down. I think it was
Was it one of those games?
I think it probably was.
Was it one of those 12, 13, 14, 15, 6? I forgot how many games it was that you blew a double. Have the list.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it.
Well, look at it. This was the post-game comments.
Part of this is Shaq. I said tonight that you are one of my favorite players, but you don't have what it takes to get to the next level. I said it on purpose. I wanted you to hear it. What do you have to say about that?
All right. That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay, cool.
I mean,
I wanted you to hear it.
I've been hearing, Shaq, I've been hearing that since my rookie year. You know, I'm just going to get better and do what I
good.
At the end of the day.
Well, that's what I wanted to hear you say.
Yes,
love
sir.
Your game, brother. Keep it up.
Appreciate it.
129-118 was the loss at Utah, by the way. As Donovan Mitchell. Oh, this was the game where the Pels had a 43-point first quarter.
Exactly.
Came out to play.
I remember we played, like, very well in that game.
Did. Zion, 27 points. Ingram, 23 points. There's our backcourt. 2 for 9 from distance. I just, again, this This is nothing personal against Ball and Bledsoe. But I just want you to, like, think of what you've seen in the postseason. I mean, think of the Pelicans starting backcourt. There's nothing else to really say. I don't know what else you want me to say. Or there's no explanation. There's no, just 2-for-9 in that game from your starting backcourt.
Again.
What?
Today is.
Not the day?
No, today is June 6th.
Okay. Donovan Mitchell, 36 points, by the way, in that game. He's awesome, man. No, he's fun. Again, we had Ali Cosell on because early in the week he tweeted a list of, you know, what, 10, 11 names. And he asked, okay, who are you leapfrogging? And everyone's like, dude, you're out of your mind. You're not leapfrogging Donovan Mitchell over a lot of those names that he had tweeted. And 2 days later, another game later, now everyone's asking that. Me and Ollie were tweeting about that or texting each other during the game. Like, is he a top 10 player? Where do you put him? Because then when you look at and think of when it comes to the Pels, I mean, is there anybody on the Pels roster that's him? Right? I mean, that's a short answer. You don't need to really think about it. In time, maybe, but right now, there isn't. And if that's the case, well, then your best player on the Pelicans roster, if you're not ahead of him, then you're not anywhere above the rest of that list. So, again, I go back to what Zion said after the season. We're not close. And as I said at the beginning of this round, actually at the end of last round, the first round, it's a mentality that I think Zion needs to get to first while the game develops. But the game's going to develop. Right, AD got better. He developed a three. I mean, Jokic got better. Donovan Mitchell's better now than he was. He came in the league. So he's going to be better basketball-wise. But if this franchise wants to compete against the likes of, and I'm going to put him in there, Ja, Donovan, Jamal, Damian, Stephen, I can keep Chris. I mean, they all have one thing in common. They don't like to lose. Actually, they hate it. And they don't care for you when you're on the court. There's respect, but they will absolutely go. And you can hear it. Listen to Donovan after the game last night.
Yeah, there's going to be adversity. You know, we're not going to always blow them out, blow teams out. You know, it's the playoffs. You know, it was great when being up 21, but at the end of the day, they executed like they should. They've been here before. You have guys who've been to the finals, been in the playoffs, have rings, have championships. So this is nothing they haven't seen before. So for us, it's like, okay, you know, they made a run, but how do we counter that? You know, and I give our group, I think when I came out at the 7-minute mark, like that group, you know, going on that run was huge. And I think not just for myself, but as a team, I think we understand how to handle these things, you know, and I think that was what you saw today. Tonight. And, you know, I think definitely the experience from the bubble definitely helped. You know, we understood, okay, this is what we're doing. You know, having flashbacks to certain instances and we kind of relate and having the same core group, we know exactly how these things work. So for us, it's continuing to do what we do and understanding they're going to punch back. We got to continue to fight and continue to do what we do.
Who in the Pelicans basketball team sounds remotely like that? I mean, I would look. It's an open-ended question.
I know.
There's no answer other than no one, Jordan. But I will say this.
Pierre probably comes close and doesn't even talk.
We've heard a lot this year, and, well, you know, it takes time. And, I go back to David Grubbs, Harden and Paint, who I thought said it best when I said, well, you know, I guess it takes time and, you know, for Zion to do that. And he goes, does he? What's the timeline to be great? I thought he said it perfectly. He's like, did Kobe wait to be great? Did Michael wait to be great? His rookie year, he went out there and took it. And again, it's why I said mindset. When the Pels were officially eliminated in that week, I said mindset. That's why you and Tidal, y'all are yuck it up. Send me bubbles, the pictures, photoshops. But I said, Mike, you can't be the layup king. It's a mindset. I don't need my general manager, my VP of basketball ops, my coach. They're following me. Hit somebody with your shoulder. Dunk on somebody. Break a wrist. Pull someone aside on the bus or on the court. That's a teammate. Say, dude, you got my back or what? You're just going to let him keep following me like that. I mean, it's a mentality. How many times did you watch that Suns-Lakers series? Somebody mean mugged somebody and they got in each other's face. Did you see the Bucks yesterday against the Nets? You got going right up to Durant. Right. There were no punches thrown.
P.J. Tucker?
Yeah, just right? I mean, it's more than, yes, the obvious. Three-point shooting. We need a point guard that does. I get that. It's a mindset, man. That's what I want to see the biggest area of growth from Zion next year. Because he physically has the ability to do that. Donovan Mitchell, last game, we're done, right? I let my team down. Game one is at halftime, then turned it on a second half. Chris Paul, I love the mindset of this team. Devin Booker, we're ready for this moment. These are all bites I've been playing on purpose. Damian Lillard.
Luka.
I mean, I'm
Giannis even said that he was happy with the win, but they have to score more points.
I'm playing these bites on purpose because these guys have gotten to that point. But again, yes, to an extent, they're young. Donovan Mitchell's 24. Isn't that Ingram and Ball's age? Ish, right? Okay. It's not all, we'll wait for them to get into that. You're either are or you're not. And I do think Zion can be. And I do think this year, part of that was, and you saw him sort of, and maybe going to Point Zion helped, but you saw him sort of to, when do I assert myself? And there's nothing wrong with that. But he has to believe I'm the guy. Donovan Mitchell, first game, is like, I need to take over. It's my team. I'm taking us to victory. That guy.
You even saw in the Nets game, I mean, you have three alpha dogs on that team, but who was the alpha late in that game?
It's Kevin Durant.
Clearly Kevin Durant.
Right.
He was asking for the ball every time he touched it.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like,
he shot the ball every time.
Zion's going to improve his shot. He's going to improve some footwork. He's probably going to be in better shape next year. The biggest leap of growth that I want to see come October is mentally. I want to hear that opening press conference when training camp starts. Literally, I want to hear it out of his mouth. I want to hear the confidence, and I want to hear the phrase is somewhere around something like this. This is my team. We're making the playoffs come heck or high water. Something like that. I'm going to make sure that we don't lose games like that anymore. Like, I want to hear him say, no, we're not going to be the team that blows double-digit leads anymore. Because that's what Chris, that's what Damian, that's what Donovan, that's what Jamal, that's what Steph, that's what they say. That's what they do. There is no room for failure. Are you going to fail? It happens. But the mindset has to be, you know, when Fletcher or Sharif or Todd or Daniel ask, are you concerned about fouls this year? Not at all. Foul me and you're around the rim. It's up to you if you keep your wrist. I mean, yeah, that's fine. Hey,
better hope you don't get knocked up on my elbow.
The referees, it's up to them to blow the whistle. But if you're in front of me, you're in my way. Like, I'm just saying, it's a mindset. Like the GIF that I constantly send you in Todd.
The MJ.
Jordan. Dunking on everybody and everybody that's much bigger than him. Gave zero Fs. Just, I'm coming in. Good luck. I don't know. I look at these playoffs, man. This team has talent, but it's a mental thing that they have got to grow on. Coming up next, Marlon Favorite. We'll talk a little foosball with him. It's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Could keep my hands on myself. Pike Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply, 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients, offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering, also holding tank rentals and portable hand-washing stations. So call Joe Septic Contractors 24-7 at 985-632-5592 in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville, or visit their website at joeseptic@viscom.net.
No matter the season, there is always work to do. What's better than the legendary power and performance of Husqvarna to help make the toughest jobs easy on you? The full range of genuine Husqvarna parts and accessories have versatility, increase performance, and provide protection for your equipment, helping you tackle any task in every season. There's never been a better time to choose Husqvarna. See the full lineup of Husqvarna products and accessories at Southern Trailer Works in Shreveport, between Houma and Thibodeau, or online at SouthernTrailerWorks.com.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Marlon Favorite, Big Fave 504. With a follow on Twitter, Inside the Trenches on the podcasting forums. Sir, how are you? Good afternoon.
All is well, brother. You know, enjoying the afternoon. Hello, somebody. Talk to me, Goose.
Got to ask you something, man, because you did this in high school, right? I mean, you guys, like, work out around this time. You're getting in shape. How do y'all do it, man? How do y'all tolerate this heat? I see those videos you're posting out there, slow-mos of a Rummel offensive lineman, all that stuff. How do y'all tolerate this heat?
Hydration, Gus. my coaches always told me, brother, make sure you're drinking an accurate amount of water, Powerade. Now, my students that we train with Conker, they think I'm crazy because I go out there with the long sleeves on. And I coach, I tried to keep it on for like 5 minutes. I couldn't do it. I said, man, let your body start to sweat and, you know, that cooling. So for our listeners right now that play football with a big dude, and you get, you know, trim the pounds like you're sitting in like Hot Works or something, you know. So, you know, you got to, and then you should be mentally ready, you know. With hydration, for sure, and being in some type of shape.
We spoke with Jacques Doucet to lead the show off. We spoke to him about LSU baseball, but he also posted a video recently of Marshawn Lynch, beast mode here at East Ascension Parish. Man, I asked you, Ascension High School, sorry. What former player would you love to have at either one of your camps over there at Conker Sports?
I would probably say Warren Sapp, if it's a former player. That just because that's somebody as a defensive lineman, I always looked up to his game and the way he played. So, you know, and to me, those older school cats, they drop dimes that, you know, your typical new wave cats, because, you know, now it's more about, you know, who looks the flashiest. But, you know, when I was learning football under Coach Hank Tierney's tutelage and, you know, just a couple of other influences throughout my entire career, I always noticed that the base stuff, getting that stuff down packed, just really made everything else good. And I think Warren Sapp will probably be somebody that can explain that better than most D linemen coming to our clinic.
Dude, I'll say this, man. That dude was dominant in college, wasn't he? And the pros as well, obviously. But I mean, he was just absurd. Like quickness. And just technique as well, though. I mean, because it's not that long a distance to get into that backfield, and he just perfected it.
He did, Gus. And, you know, D linemen don't get highs every day. You know, the fact that he was that award winner that year.
Yeah, think of that.
About his skill set. So, yeah, you're right.
Who do you think Skyler would have on the offensive side?
Skyler, I would probably say, if it's Ski, he would probably go with one of his old teammates. He would probably bring in somebody like Terrell Owens or something. You know, he'll do like a T.O. type deal, you know, somebody that would come in. And Ocho Cinco, because him and Ocho was together in Cincy. So I think he would probably pick one of those guys to come in, you know, somebody who cool and but at the same time can really drop some gems to the young receivers, the skill guys.
I've been having a little fun with the fact that basically everyone is, you know, doing some sort of OTAs or minicamp field work while the Saints aren't doing it in a team setting. Although listening to players this week, as many, many, including coaches, are made available today, Thursday, did mention they're doing position group work with their coaches and people in their position. And I've asked you this on Monday, if you can benefit from this or not. And, you know, Alvin Kamara says, look, in class, you can, you know, be more specialized in that. And I think, Marlon, that's great for the veteran guys. But younger guys, I still think that those three-hour practices that Alvin says you're just trying to get through are beneficial, don't you?
They are beneficial, Gus, for the younger guys. So, like, the guys that are, you know, 2 years or younger in the NFL, those days are important. But for the guys that are approaching a contract year or really trying to set an achievable goal of being an award-winning player, whether it's All-Pro, going to the Pro Bowl, the specialized training and the position work helps that the most. So organized team activities like, you know, Alvin Kamara and those guys getting with a group and just working on their craft, those drills, the veterans, they're cool with that. They don't, honestly, you know, the older you get, the more you dread the actual traditional OTAs, going through plays, running them over and over again. That makes you feel like you're in training camp at practice.
Okay.
But
all right.
If you're doing position drills, hello somebody, right? If you're doing position drills, you know, it brings a different, it's more about fine-tuning your technique as opposed to going ham.
I want to pull some sound here from some Saints defensive linemen that I think are key this year, right? Let's start with Marcus Davenport. I mean, you can say you don't hear and see it, but last year at the start of training camp, Marcus Davenport admitted that he thought he was paying attention too much to the media critique, and I looked at Jordan, I'm like, what is he talking about? Like, and at that time, I told Jordan, I said, there was things that he said that, and by no means was I making fun of it, because one thing we've learned in the last calendar year, the attention to mental health has been something that no longer is really funny. And I'm not saying that he's a head case or anything of that nature, but he spoke an awful lot this week about where was his head, the you know, things of that nature. How much is the mental aspect of football maybe overlooked, Marlon? I guess is what I'm trying to get at.
I think it's overlooked a lot. I mean, Gus, for me to be honest, I still deal with some anxieties of when I played in the NFL years ago, because it's an expectation, right? And you work so hard to get to this point. Football is a head case game. You know, you have to really build a certain level of mental strength to survive this game, man. You know, you take a guy like Marcus Davenport, who came into this league as a young, underdeveloped defensive end, you know, coming from University of Texas San Antonio. You hadn't played against, you know, that LSU-type talent, that Florida State-type talent. You didn't get a chance to play against a higher Power 5 school. So now you're in the NFL. You have all the physical tools to be successful, but I can remember when we were there 2 seasons ago. This was right after his rookie year. I had interviewed him. I pulled him to the side. It was a few episodes back of Inside the Trenches, well, 2 years mm-hmm. worth ago. And I talked to him about that. He said, man, I'm going to just, you know, decompress, get off my cell phone, you know, go somewhere in the Midwest, just kind of meditate and relax. I can understand that because it's high intensity. Like, it's the media. It's practice. It's competing. You know, you got a new guy coming in there each week fighting for your position. It's a lot to deal with.
Look, getting ready to play, for a lot of people, that means a lot of different aspects of it. That said, you are judged and based in that profession, in the sport, on your play on the field. He was asked earlier this week about this opportunity this season. Obviously, now that, you know, Trey Hendrickson is gone and everyone is looking to him, and I know they drafted, you know, a defensive end, but you would think he's the starter and he's going to be expected to do well. Here it is.
I'm just going to laugh. Man, I expect every time that I step out there to do my best. And so it's just that simple. And I feel like this is going to be my best year. So that's what I expect.
What's a successful season for a defensive end in the NFL, Marlon?
I think anything over seven to eight sacks, you know, because if you have a double-digit sack year, like if you have a 10-sack year, that's considered, hey, this guy could be considered to go to the Pro Bowl. You know, that's why as a defensive end, that's important. Tackles for loss matter. You know, the way you affect the play matters. You know, and I think that's something that quietly we didn't see a lot of sacks from Marcus Davenport, but, you know, we've seen him get extension off the C and D gap and, you know, able to make the running backs bounce out and, you know, play very solid run game. That's improvement. So, you know, it's all kind of little things, but I think a solid, if I'm being very, I think, between 7 to 8 sacks is pretty much a solid year, achievable goal.
So an end, a defensive end, you are great and you think success comes from sacking the quarterback, in short, right?
Yeah, okay. Creating turnovers.
Here, okay, here's Cam Jordan's thoughts on Marcus Davenport's potential.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing harboring Marcus has probably been Marcus. I mean, when you talk about his ability when he is on the field and he is healthy, you've seen flashes from him that are freakish. And, I mean, you know, I've probably said it more times than not, like he is just a hell of a freakish talent just in terms of his size and explosion, his ability to make plays. And his fearlessness when he stops himself from thinking too much. And at times, you know, he is harbored by these injuries, these nagging injuries that have been around. But I feel like heading to year four, he's healthy. He's mentally in a great space. And I think he's physically poised to make a leap this year.
One thing else that stood out this week, and Cam spoke on it too as well. I know maybe you can kind of speak to this from being in a locker room. When you have a dominant, and I wouldn't say domineering, just a dominant presence like Drew Brees was, right? Not only a team leader and captain, but probably the captain of captains. You got to have the one captain and, you know, and the rest of the guys that are team captains as well. But Marlon, there's one. Who was, when you won the national championship, who was the voice of voices for LSU for you?
I think Glenn Dorsey, when we won the national championship, so it was a guy who came in LSU with me. And it wasn't necessarily just about what he said. It was just the way he elevated his game on the field. Yeah, I'd probably say big put.
Okay, so when you look at that, though, and you look at the mentality and the team's identity with it, here's what Cam had to say about trying to find one now without Drew.
I mean, I just gave you that roster check of what we have on defense in terms of leadership. If you want to ask for that offensive leadership where you have one of the most dynamic running backs I've ever seen in AK, when you have a top-tier receiver when he's healthy, when I say top-tier, he's probably number one, and Michael Thomas, of course, and then you talk about what our quarterbacks can do. We have a quarterback who's thrown for 5,000 yards in this league, in the NFL, and after, you know, being in our offense for a year, he's probably more comfortable than he was last year. You get excited about what he can do. I feel like in terms of leadership, we've got a lot to offer. And shoot, let's not even talk about special teams, because I feel like Deontay's been special.
How long do you think it takes? I keep saying mid-season, man, that you'll start to see like what this team can really sort of be like. It's fine and dandy to all these players saying, hey, Marlon, you got a voice. Jordan, you got a voice. I got a voice. But somebody's going to be the ultimate voice, right? That you would think, and somebody's going to be the person that people look to. How long does that take organically to manufacture?
Well, it depends. It can be anywhere from, you know, somebody like a Joe Burrow coming in LSU and automatically grabbing the guys.
Correct.
Or it can be, you know, over time. You just want to give it a midway contract in. So about 3 years, you know, to really develop him. Yeah.
Gotta tell you. It'll be interesting to see. You bring up a good point. Joe Burrow did it quickly. And it also came about, apparently, per him, by getting in a fight early in spring, in fall practice. So there you go, Marlon. As always, man, I appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend, sir.
You do the same, man. Y'all go get gorilla.com. Hello.
For sure. At BigFay504, the way to follow on Twitter. Leo Haggerty next on ESPN New Orleans. Such a long way to go. Such a long way to go. To make it to the border of Mexico. To my ride. Like the wind.
Recent data shows that out of all female-owned businesses, it's estimated that 1 in 3 is owned by a mom. CEO and founder Talia Goldstein is one such mompreneur. She needs to hire several matchmakers a month for her personalized matchmaking company, so she uses ZipRecruiter to find the right people for her job quickly. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
This year, make Dad's day with gifts from the Home Depot. Save on all the best ideas by shopping in-store or on the app. Choose from new innovative tools, top-rated grills, or even the latest smart cameras and devices for your home. Because what dad doesn't love? New gear. The best gifts for the best dads. And you'll find them all at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See store for details. Restrictions apply.
If you've got a personal auto insurance question, you could talk to a cab driver. Although the policies he recommends might include avoiding the interstate, beating traffic by taking the back roads, and only making left turns when absolutely necessary. Or you could talk to your local GEICO agent, whose policy is to use their expertise to navigate your insurance, finding the best route to help you save money on insurance for your home, car, and more. And as an added bonus, you'll be able to avoid traffic jams and potholes entirely. To find a GEICO agent near you, visit geico.com/local.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Who should start, Mac Jones or Cam Newton? Why are you laughing?
Because it's not a question, in my opinion. I know what Key's going to say.
You really put that out there?
I mean, it's just the game.
Cam Newton, man. Stop, man. I understand we got Mac Jones effect. Stop. Stop it. They didn't go out and build this team right now for Mac Jones to be the starter.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Coach Sean Payton wrapping up his virtual minicamp, essentially, yesterday. Jordan saying what the Saints have been working out. Best conditioned football team in the NFL. That's good. You just heard the Saints music there. I got to do this before we get to Leo Haggerty because this is appropriate. You ready? Jordan? I gotta say, extremely proud of Matty Hudak on her way to parts of Georgia. And there's a sign on the interstate that says Atlanta. What does it say, Atlanta? Atlanta what now? What's the sign say?
Well, it originally says 85, Interstate 85.
Interstate 85.
But she changed it, crossed out the 5. Put a 2 in front of the 8, and put a dash through the 5, and put a 3 behind the dash. So 28
yes.
to 3.
She took a picture of an interstate sign saying Atlanta this away, and then she did a simple edit on the picture that then read 28 to 3. Atlanta. Congrats, Maddie. We're rubbing off. It never fails, Leo. It's the gift that keeps on giving when you literally can just be on the interstate and just see the sign that says Atlanta, and then you somehow create something to remind you of the greatest Super Bowl collapse in all eternity. How are you today, Leo? Hello, Leo.
Sign.
Yeah, man.
Hello?
Yeah, say that again, bud.
Either driving in Atlanta or driving in Seattle, there's two things that remind you of. How'd you blow a 28-3 lead in Atlanta, and why did you throw the football in Seattle?
Yeah, I still for that. Yeah, why did you do that, huh, Malcolm Butler? You've had an interesting week over there in Tampa, and I say that because, I mean, again, Tom. I mean, Jordan, what we saw Tom hanging out with Gronk, you know, best friends day or whatever. They were in the little kiddie pool. Their feet were wet. You know, he's throwing. Looked great. Had some knee off-season surgery. Apparently all is well. I'm just, Leo, have you started picking your spot for the championship parade coming up later on this year?
I already renewed my spot from last year on the bridge going over the Hillsborough River. Gus, this town's going crazy with this. I'll tell you, if this team loses a game, I think there'll be people jumping off the dang Sunshine Skyway. They just think this team's going 20-0. Wow. And I don't get it, because there's one thing you cannot roll back from year one to year two, and that's injuries. They're going to happen. And I just hope that when this does happen and they get people hurt, that they're able to compensate for it. But again, they had the right people get hurt last year. You know, if 12 goes down, you might as well, you know, put the funeral pyre out, because that's like the end of the world down here. And you got a 44-year-old quarterback. It's funny. I asked Tristan Wirtz, you know, what's the one thing Tom told you when he came in? He said, don't let him come inside and don't let him come quick. Boy, I'll tell you, is that telling Gus or what?
Leo, just start planning it. Just start planning it, man. It's just, it is what it is. 20-0, Leo. 20-0. Look, in all honesty, you're going to have to go through the season, you know, get the wins and do all of those other things. When you take a look at the rest of the NFC South, legitimately, look, there's always going to be a team that takes a step forward, and there's a team that maybe isn't playing as well as you think. I'm just kind of curious. Where do you view the Panthers? I feel like, look, the Saints are getting a ton of talk, obviously a new quarterback, but still have talent. The Buccaneers are the defending Super Bowl champs. The Falcons have a new coach, had coaching decisions cost them wins last year, and drafted one of the most dynamic players that everyone is telling us we'll ever see. Where are the Panthers?
Gus, to be honest, 1 year away. I want to see what happens with their quarterback situation in terms of how Joe Brady gets along with the new guy coming down from the Jets. And again, it's going to take a while to get acclimated to their system, but I like what they're doing up there. They were in pretty much every game last year, and they just fell apart at the end. I think the Panthers are going to be like a 7-win team, maybe 8-9. But the following year, when Sam gets a chance to get comfortable with that offense, well, we're going to find out if he's a player or not, a quarterback. And I think Sam Darnold out in New York may be what he needed, that change of scenery. Because I'll tell you, New York eats up a lot of good people if you're not ready. So we'll see what happens with the Panthers. But, Gus, I think they're still a year away. You know, 7-8 wins right in there. That's what I'm looking at.
It's interesting. You bring up the environment, perhaps, and the change that can help there. Speaking with Leo Haggerty, as we touch on the NFC South a bit, and the Panthers particularly. I'm of the camp. I think Sam Darnold's not a bad quarterback. I think the talent is definitely there. And it's sort of similar in some way to Jameis in this aspect, right? You have two teams that are hoping a change of scenery will be good for them. You have been on this for 2 years since we've been having you on the show. You told us that he's a good quarterback, that he just, look, it's the amount of offensive coordinators he went through. It's the amount of head coaches that he went through. It's things of that nature. I'm going to tell you, of all the players and sound that we cut this week, which is a ton, there's a soundbite from Jameis Winston that stood out to me, and I actually, Jordan, go ahead and tell Leo the sticky note that I put on the wall.
Yeah, see, Jameis Winston is a Pro Bowler at the end of the season.
Yeah, I'm saying it now. I think he's a Pro Bowl quarterback, and I don't know why I feel that way other than really listen to this soundbite, the philosophy of decision-making.
It was making the right decision and not worrying about the result. And that's what it's like. It doesn't matter if the result is good, and the result can be bad sometimes. But we don't want to be making decisions just for a great result. We want to be making the right decision, period. And that's what he's taught me, and I've been carrying that on. And so I've been applying that in my workouts. I've been applying that with my teammates.
The other thing I want you to comment on is Tre'Quan Smith having these workouts with Jameis. Listen to this.
Yeah, definitely. We feel like we're building a good bond, you know, not just, you know, on the football field, but off the football field, you know, just getting to know him as a person, getting to know him, you know, in certain situations, how he acts around his family, you know, around his wife and kids. You know, he's honestly like just a great person in general, and everything that comes on the football field, you know, and towards the season, I feel like it's not going to be by mistake. It all going to be for a purpose, because that's just the type of person he is. You know, he works very hard, and like I seen it firsthand, you know, working out with him next to him, like he's honestly a hard worker, and I know for a fact it's going to pay off, you know, just with him.
Are you surprised by that? Because Tre'Quan also in another bite, touched on that Jameis has been telling him, look, don't stop running your routes. Keep running. Even if you're 60, 70 yards down the field, I'm going to throw you to football. Are you surprised by what you're hearing from not only him, but from other teammates?
No, Gus, because like I've told you since I first came on your show, take away the interceptions. And I know that's hard for people to understand. The guy put up almost 40 touchdowns and almost 6,000 yards. He can play quarterback. The biggest problem he had in Tampa, there were two of them. One, he held the ball too long because his receivers had trouble getting separation. And the second thing is, Gus, he had a sight problem. His problem was he couldn't adjust. Every time you looked at Jameis looking at the scoreboard, he was squinting. Well, guess what? He finally had LASIK. Now he's seeing the game. I think you got a diamond in the rough there. I wouldn't be surprised under Sean Payton if he starts to put up a 35 or 38, 10 year. And that'll tell you what, that'll win you double-digit games in the NFC South.
One thing that stood out to me, like I told Jordan, I said the difference between him and Taysom Hill, and again, we're going to see what happens once we get on the field, right? I get that. But Jameis, with that bite and other things, it sounded like he was trying to refine playing quarterback in the NFL. He threw for 5,000 yards. I mean, Cam Jordan, I just played a bite with Marlon Favorite where he's talking about he didn't mention Taysom. He mentioned we have a quarterback because he was asked about this team finding an identity post Drew Brees. He went through some team leaders, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, and he mentioned Jameis Winston, which I thought was interesting. But it sounded like a chasm, dude. It sounded like the Grand Canyon. Taysom's talking about footwork, when to deliver the football on time. He didn't do it early enough. Jameis is telling receivers, run your route. That's what I keep thinking. The guy's played starting quarterback for 5 years. He won a national championship. You don't do that if you can't make plays and lead people. So I know that there's this sense and this belief that there's a competition, but it's really sounding like a lot to me from his teammates that they think he's the starting quarterback. He's acting like the starting quarterback.
You know what, Gus? Put yourself in Sean Payton's shoes, and you're sitting in the offensive room with the rest of the quarterback. And the question comes up, are we better off starting Jameis and bringing in Tayshaun Hill as a changeup or the other way around? I think it's the first. I think you go with Jameis, see what he can do, and all of a sudden during the game, you come in with a package for Hill and oof. Man, it's going to force defenses during the week to spend time getting ready for that. And two, you're not ready for it, no matter what people say, because the guy can do things, but he does them in a short period of time. I don't know if Hill is the guy you want under center for 50 or 60 snaps a game. Jameis has already proved he can do that and he can win.
One thing outside of the division, Leo, then we'll let you go and enjoy the weekend, sir. Russell Wilson is saying yesterday that he never demanded a trade. It was much to do about nothing, and he had a conversation and all that. Are you buying it, or do you think this is more of damage control to kind of put out whatever fire there was for this season?
You know what, Gus? The way things were going in the Northwest, just with in Seattle, the craziness going on, I don't think he demanded a trade, but I think he said, let's take a look at this. Are we going to be able? I think he's doing the same thing Aaron Rodgers is doing, but just on a lesser level. Hey, guys, I'm getting older. You got to protect me. Let's come up with a way to get some offensive linemen so I'm not a marathon runner back there for the season. So, yeah, I think he didn't demand a trade, but he probably said, guys, if you don't give me some offensive linemen, I'm going to start looking elsewhere. I don't know if you call that demanding a trade, but it was pretty close to the line.
Well, Leo, always a pleasure, man. Please don't demand a trade from hanging out with us. We like you.
Never, Gus. And how was your time in Miami? Good?
It was too short. I'm just going to be honest. It was just too short. Jordan knows. Jordan, how was I on Tuesday?
He was out of it.
I was completely miserable.
That's all he could talk about was his time in Miami also.
This just felt like the longest short week ever.
You know what, Gus? If you could talk about it, you didn't have really good fun. That's the honest, right?
I could talk about it for sure. Thank you, Leo. Appreciate it, man. Have a good weekend.
You too, buddy. Talk to you next week.
For sure. Final segment, just like that, Jordan. Come and gone.
The weekend.
What you got? You got big plans on the weekend?
No. Well, Father's Day.
Who wants to hang out with Jordan? Call us next on ESPN New Orleans. And I go, la, 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 la. She's got
the look. Today's Medical Minute is provided to you by Thibodeau Regional Medical Center.
Hello, I'm Billy Nakian, the director of the Spine Center of Excellence at Thibodeau Regional. Have you had a recent neck or back injury? Or have you been suffering with recurrent neck and back pain? Have you been searching for